Thank you for joining us today. For more information about the church, campus locations, service times, and more, visit ecoegt.com. Also, stay in touch with us on social media by liking us on Facebook and following us on Instagram at ecoegt. Now let's prepare our hearts as we go into the message.
As you received your notes when you came in today, we're going to talk about Mary's obedient faith. You know, I believe a correct biblical view of Mary, the mother of Jesus, is important to realizing that God can and will use humankind to accomplish infinitely more than we can ever imagine. It is a powerful story of the divine breaking forth upon humanity in spectacular glory to accomplish his eternal plan of salvation. For the word of God tells us that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That is, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. This is the story of Mary. It begins with a young girl, a virgin, who would forever be known as the mother of Jesus, the Son of the living God. The picture of the biblical Mary that we receive from the apostolic authors is of a woman who is human, who is fallible, yet faithful. Think about this: human, fallible, but faithful. What happened to Mary in her pregnancy and motherhood was extraordinary. God put himself literally into the hands of a faithful teenage girl, trusting her to participate in the fulfillment of his greatest mission on earth. Mary was not the first woman of God to be used to participate in the fulfillment of his purpose and plan, nor will Mary be the last. Now, according to scripture, Mary and Joseph became the parents of several children. See, theologically, the correct historical rendition of Mary has profound implications for humanity. For if Mary was, as the Bible describes her, a normal woman who put her faith in God's word, to whom God came and through whom God accomplished his great purpose, then God can come to any one of us and accomplish his purposes through one who was willing to say yes. See, the greatness of Mary was her faith in God's greatness, nothing more. And today, I want to challenge each one of us: embrace the unexpected. God is inviting you to participate in his eternal plan. I want to challenge you: be willing to forgo comfort, even reputation. Be willing to be misunderstood. Say yes to God's plan for your life and to your future. And allow God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to burst upon the script of your life and rewrite your story. This is the story of Mary's obedient faith. Turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. As we take a moment and read the story of the angel coming to Mary. Verse 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Let me say that again. "For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word today. The opportunity to preach and to teach your word. God, I pray that as we have read this story that we have read many, many times before, I pray that we will approach it with a freshness. You give us eyes to see what the Holy Spirit is doing and ears that would hear what you are saying to us now. For Lord, you want to encounter us today. May we leave here encouraged and challenged and changed in Jesus' name. Amen. The first fill in the blank on your notes, the first we're going to talk about is the story begins to unfold. Now, Luke, who is a physician himself, is given to much detail, and he gives us a timeline. He says it was in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy that God sent the angel Gabriel. I think that's important because I want to bring it out to you that God is the author of the plan. God is the author of the incarnation, and he sends the archangel Gabriel with his most entrusted message. Did you know that in Jewish literature, Gabriel is one of the seven archangels, the highest angelic order, that function as God's princes and vice regents? And he appears as a messenger in both Luke and the book of Daniel. His presence signifies both the importance of his message and God's favor toward the recipient. Only Daniel, Zechariah, and Mary are said to have conversed with Gabriel, which shows God's high regard for these individuals. Now, God's plan included a young girl named Mary. Now, what we know about her is what Luke says. Luke says she was a virgin engaged. Engaged to Mary Joseph. Now, these facts alone reveal the serious situation to which Mary surrendered herself and surrendered her body, and surrendered her spirit too. You have to really take off your 21st century lens and go back and put on the lens of the first century. She was a virgin. She was engaged to be married. And Gabriel appears to her. And Gabriel says this, "Mary, the Lord is with you." I want to challenge you today. As the story of your life unfolds, you can have the confidence of knowing the Lord is with you. Whatever you're facing today, whatever this season brings in your life, you can have the confidence of knowing that the Lord is with you. No matter what you're walking through, no matter what you have experienced, you can have the confidence of knowing the Lord is with you. Now, as we can imagine, Gabriel's message to Mary was cause for great anxiety. So he prefaced his announcements by saying, "Do not be afraid." But how could any girl not be afraid? How could Mary explain this pregnancy to her family, let alone to Joseph, her fiance? Who would believe her? Would she be cast out? Cast away from her village? Would she be stoned? Yet rather than allowing her fear to overcome her, Mary displayed great courage and faith as she humbly embraced her role as the servant of the Lord. I want to tell you today, you can embrace the role God has for you with courage and with faith. Secondly, let's talk just a moment about Mary's composure. Write the word troubled. So look at the emotions that Mary is dealing with. She's troubled. The word in the original means to throw into confusion, to be deeply troubled, to be very much upset, to be very perplexed. And the New Living Translators decided to use two words in order to bring meaning to the situation. They used the words confused and disturbed. Now, I think it's important for you and I to try to see and to feel the emotions of the moment. Because oftentimes when God is working in your life, it will take you out of your comfort zone. Often when God is working in your life, there's an element of fear. There's an element of anxiety. There's an element of confusion. When God is working and moving, it's not uncommon for you to feel a little unsettled. But don't allow the unsettledness, don't allow the anxiety or even the fear of the moment to keep you from giving God your yes, from surrendering to what God is doing in the moment. See, sometimes when the Holy Spirit is prompting you, it may disturb your emotions. It may get you off your equilibrium. Luke then brings us to the point of Mary trying to make sense of what had just happened. Write this word, rationalize. She began to think. She began to rationalize. She began to ponder. What could this mean? The New Living Translation says, confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. The New King James says, she considered what manner of greeting this was. See, Mary was trying to internalize what had just happened. She began to debate internally, to engage in deep thought, to weigh and to consider. She began to think out carefully. She began to reason. All right, how can this be? What's going on here? Lord, what are you doing? See, Mary, like most of us, would be trying to make sense of what is happening. Gabriel just appeared to her. He interrupted her ordinary, everyday life. Be open to divine interruptions. Be open to the activity of God around you. Give the Holy Spirit permission to interrupt your life at any moment. Because I promise you, because the plan of God had something greater. Be open to that divine interruption. Be open to God doing the miraculous in your life. God is breaking in on the scene of humanity, and he is using a young girl to carry the greatest gift to mankind. Think about this. Our redemption at one point in time depends on Mary, a virgin, espoused to Joseph, a carpenter by trade. And when it comes to Mary and Joseph, you cannot get any more ordinary than the two of them. And the wonderful news of Christmas is God often takes the ordinary and does the extraordinary. Sometimes we think, and we have a list in our mind of what it looks like or the person looks like that God wants to use. And we have that list because we're trying to disqualify ourselves. God will use them, but he won't use me. But I want you to know this, God will use you. God wants to use you. He wants to invade your ordinary everyday life. For you have an encounter with him and the power of the Holy Spirit so that he can do something extraordinary, that he can do what eye hath not seen nor ear heard, and it never has entered your mind what the Lord's prepared for you. This journey of faith. Let the Lord rewrite your story. See, God often takes who others discount, who others overlook, and does the miraculous through them. This Christmas, be open to God using your everyday, ordinary life to be a blessing to others. Mary was a conduit of the blessings of God to humanity. May you be a blessing to those around you. Mary was about to be a vessel God was going to use to bring about the purpose of redemption. May you and I be vessels that proclaim the message of redemption to others. You pick up here in the narrative. You hear Gabriel's words. And the words of Gabriel understandably caused fear. And immediately Gabriel says, "Don't be afraid, Mary. Do not fear. Do not be afraid, Mary." It's important to take notice that Gabriel calls her by name. Church, be encouraged. Heaven knows your name. Heaven knows exactly where you are. Heaven sees exactly what you're walking through. You're not abandoned by God. You may feel alone, but you're not alone. Heaven takes notice as to where you are. And as you surrender to the Lord, as you invite the Holy Spirit in, he will reveal the power and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven knows your name. Write this word, favor. Gabriel says, "Mary, you have found favor with God. There is nothing like the favor of God. Give me the favor of God. The favor of God will open up doors you never dreamed possible. The favor of God will take you places you never dreamed of. The favor of God will protect you. The favor of God will sustain you. And the favor of God will take you further than you deserve." Did you hear me? The favor of God will take you further than you deserve. Now Gabriel begins to explain in verse 31. "You will conceive and give birth to a son. You will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Which then brings us to our third point, Mary's response. Because it's so incredible, and it's also so important as to how we respond to what God is doing in our life. Verse 34, Mary asked the angel, "But how can this be? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What is more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary begins with a simple question. How can this be? I am a virgin. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Most High will overshadow you. The baby will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. Matter of fact, Gabriel says, "I'm going to give you a sign." You know, a sign is a road post to confirm the activity of God, to give a sense of direction, to know that God is working and moving. In all the chaos of what is happening around us, look closely for a sign of the activity of God around you. God is moving. God is working. And I promise you, he has placed signs along your path. Signs to let you know that he is there. It may be an unexpected phone call from a friend you haven't heard from in years. It may be somebody that you attend church with that comes up and just speaks a word of knowledge to you. It may simply be somebody that comes up beside you in prayer and puts their hand on your shoulder, and it just sends a confirming sense in your spirit. And God's letting you know, I'm there. I see you. You're not alone. It's going to be okay. It can be a multitude of counselors in your life that are speaking truth over you, declaring God's word over you. And the enemy is struggling and trying to get you wrapped up in his plan. But those around you are encouraging you. Stay true to God. Surrender to his work and to his plan. God's got a purpose. There's a sign around you that demonstrates the activity of God in your life. And church, God is still working. God is still moving. And Mary's sign was this: Elizabeth, your relative, has become pregnant in her old age. Write this under C3. Her status has changed. Her status has changed. Look at verse 13, or 36, excuse me, verse 36b. People used to say she was barren, but. Oh, I like that. People used to say she was barren, but. Aren't you glad we serve the God who can remove the labels of our old life and redefine our lives with purpose? She was barren, but no more. You were lost, but no more. You were blind, but no more. You were sick, but no more. You were lame, but no more. You were addicted, but no more. You were cursed, but no more. You were unstable in your emotions, but no more. You were filled with anger, but no more. You were broken, but today you're healed. You were alone, but today you have the family of God. You were self-centered, but today you're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. See, God will take the labels that others have placed on you, and your past does not have to define your future. He'll remove those labels, and he will fulfill that great purpose and plan in your life. It's a plan of redemption. It's a plan of restoring what the enemy's stolen from you. You say, well, Pastor, it was at the hands of my own decisions. I get it. But the enemy has ransacked your life. But God will come and restore what the enemy has taken from you. You don't have to allow the labels the world's placed on you to define you. Give it all to God. Walk out his word in your life, and you'll see that he will accomplish infinitely more than you ever dreamed possible. Write the word truth under D. It's what I call a truth bomb. Sometimes we need just a truth bomb dropped in our life. It's just like, wow, yes, Lord, I get it. How shall this happen? And he begins to drop some truth bombs, begins to describe how it's going to happen. And then the New Living Translation translates it this way: for the word of God will never fail. The word of God, the promises of God, the word of God will never fail. The Old English, New King James says, for with God nothing will be impossible. They translate the same Greek word, meaning the same thing. There's two different ways to say it. Listen, nothing will be impossible. Nothing can go lacking when God has given that promise. In other words, his word will never fail in your life. Build your life upon the promises of God, because the promises of God will come to pass. Someone needs to hear this today. The word of God will not fail in your life. You've been trusting, you've been believing, you've been holding to God's truth, and the Holy Spirit has come to remind you today, the word will not fail. God is faithful to his promises. They are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Keep believing, keep holding on, keep trusting. Even everything around you seems to be to the contrary. Even when fear attacks you, anxiety tries to overwhelm you, hold to the word of God, because the word of God will not fail. Now we get to the response of Mary. Write this word, servant. I am your servant. The Old English uses an old word, handmaiden. It's the imagery of submission. It's the imagery of surrender. It's the imagery of humility. It's the act of coming under the influence of a greater authority. Though the news was astounding, though the news in one sense was unbelievable, yet Mary said, I come underneath your influence, your authority, and I give you my yes. So often when we're faced with an impossible situation, so often when we're faced with the activity of the Holy Spirit, of what God wants to do in our life, we succumb to the anxiety. We succumb to the fear. We succumb to all the negativity. But what Mary teaches us is there's a place we can reach in our faith where we give God our yes. Even when we don't understand the whole story, even when we don't know how we're going to make it tomorrow, we don't know what it's going to look like tomorrow. I remind you at this point, Joseph did not even know. So in her mind, she's having to think, okay, how is Joseph going to respond? How are my parents, my family going to respond? What is the community going to say? And she was still willing to say yes. I am your servant. That word servant is the opposite of proud, opposite of independent, opposite of self-centered, opposite of autonomous. Her response was a response of surrender, a response of trust, a response of obedience. Let me ask a question. What are the areas of your life where you need to come under the authority of Christ? What are the areas of your life where you need to come under the authority of Christ? Are there areas where you have demonstrated too much independence, too much autonomy? Saying it's my life, I'll live like I want. How can you surrender to what God is doing today, right now? What is God wanting from you right now? Now, one of the last references of Mary in the Word of God is found in the book of Acts. And these verses formulate a beautiful picture in the Word of God of what I believe a perfect follower of Jesus, the Messiah, is. It creates a beautiful picture of what a true disciple of the Lord is post-resurrection. Disciples, they're there on the Mount of Olives. Christ is about to ascend. The disciples still have questions. It says they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times. They are not for you to know. Then Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. But you will receive power. There's still questions in their mind. They're still wondering. They still don't quite have a grasp as to what God is doing. And Jesus said, listen, it's not for you to know, it's for you to trust. It's for you to walk in obedience. It's for you to walk in servanthood to the Lord. But let me tell you what you can count on. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses. Verse 9 tells us, after saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching. They could no longer see him. And then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. When they arrived, verse 13, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Here are the names of those who were present: Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, son of James. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with who? Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. The medieval church elevated the role of Mary to a status that is not biblical. And what I want you to see is Mary is an example today of a true follower of Christ, one who was willing to say yes to the impossible, willing for the Lord to rewrite the story of her life and to be a vessel that God could use. And today, we know Mary as the mother of Jesus, the Son of the living God. But what a beautiful picture. As the book of Acts opens up, also written by Luke the physician, 10 days prior to the day of Pentecost, where the church is birthed in power, where do you find Mary? In the upper room. in the upper room waiting on her Lord, her master, to baptize them, to send the power, to anoint them with the Holy Spirit. She's a powerful example to you and I of how you and I must be waiting for the endowment of power from on high to be filled with the Holy Spirit. She falls off the Holy Scriptures. We don't hear anything else. We can just assume that she's a vital part of what is taking place in the early church. This Christmas, will you join her in the upper room? That place of waiting, that place of seeking, that place of tarrying, that place of going after God. For we know on the day of Pentecost, the church was birthed in power and anointing. If there's ever been a time and a season that we need the power and the anointing of God, it is now, it is today. Give Jesus your yes. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for a story that we read year after year, and we study. Lord, we always discover wonderful truths. Truths about ourselves. Truths about how you, the divine, burst upon the scene of our humanity to take up our flesh with the mission of going to the cross, bearing our shame, bearing our sin, that on the third day you might rise again. I thank you, Lord, that our faith is grounded in a historical fact, confirmed by eyewitnesses, confirmed by not only biblical literature, but historical literature. I thank you, Lord. Luke opens up his letter by saying, "Oh, Theophilus, I have written these things down so you can have a reliable account that you can know." Oh, Father, I pray. I pray, God, that we'll respond to the activity of God now, this moment. As our head is bowed and our eyes are closed, let me ask you a question. How is God working and moving in your life today? What are areas of your life where you need to come under the authority of Christ? Maybe there's some areas where you've demonstrated too much independence, too much autonomy. How can you surrender to God in this moment? As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, maybe you've drifted away from the Lord. In this Christmas, you realize there's no better time than to come back to God than now, today, this moment. Maybe as of yet, you've not surrender to the Lord. You've not asked Jesus to be Lord of your life. Maybe you've just gone to church because mom and dad took you to church and you knew it was just the right thing to do, but you've not yet totally surrendered to the Lord. Will you give Jesus your yes? Will you give God your yes? If you're here this morning and say, "Pastor, I want to give him my yes. I want to surrender to him as Lord of my life." Will you lift your hand toward heaven? You at home, won't you just lift your hand right now and just say, "Yes, that's me. I surrender. I see that hand. I see that hand. God loves you. I see that hand in the back. God's working and moving in your life." Surrender your life to him. The word says if we confess our need of him, our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us today. Maybe you see the activity of God around you and it's causing fear and anxiety. And that fear and anxiety is really hindering you from giving everything to the Lord. Mary came to a place that even in the midst of that uncertainty, even in the midst of not having all the answers, she said, "Yes, I am the servant." Don't wait for a more adequate time. Today's the day to say yes. Father, I thank you for you are working and moving among us. To the best of our ability, we give you our yes. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand together. Let's spend a few moments worshiping the Lord. Oh.